All right. Well, so how many recognize what George said? We've had some challenges this year, and we've even lost, lost some people. But we haven't lost them. We know where they are, but they're not with us, and so that causes some pain, and we understand that. Then, of course, COVID, it's like, you know what I mean? Let me say, and then there's just life, you know what I mean? How many experienced some life this year? And some ups. How many experienced some ups and some downs? And so we started talking last week about the importance of understanding that God cares for us, because what I said, and this is so important, that sometimes in troubles and issues in life can drive you to the point, if we're not careful, somebody say if we're not careful, that we begin to believe that Jesus or that God just doesn't care, or that he's not paying attention. And this is all review, but I want to do some review because this is important that we understand. Reasons why we think that God doesn't care. Well, there's many, but just let me name a couple of them. Let me name three of them. Number one, you know what? Sometimes our prayers don't get answered right away. How many are praying for something and it's been longer than 3 weeks and you still haven't seen the answer? Well, see, that's our mentality. Our mentality is, God, I prayed. It's been a whole 3 weeks and you know what? He must not hear me. He must not care. Sometimes we have situations in our life, stuff going on in our life, and we're believing that God is going to protect us and turn the situation around. And it's the same thing. And we're still living with that situation. And so because it's been, and maybe it's been even longer than 3 weeks. You know, maybe it's been 4 weeks. Maybe it's been, 8 weeks. Maybe it's been 8 years. And you start to think, God, you know what? You don't care. And we have to be careful that we don't start to think that. Or how about this one? This is a good one. We see, it seems like our enemy is prospering. Come on, come somebody shake their head on that one. It's like, I don't understand what's going on. You know what I mean? Because, you know, God, don't you care? Aren't you around? What's going on here? And all these things start to bombard us and start to, how many know a little by little by little by little by little by little, you know what, a little move backwards doesn't really seem to affect you very much. And a little move backwards doesn't seem to affect you much. And then a little move backwards. But how many know you start putting these backward moves together and in not very long, it starts to be a significant move backwards. And there's a cliff behind us. And next thing you know, you're just thinking, well, God, you know what, little thing. And you just start to retreat a little bit. And but next thing you know, that one little bit is going to put you at the bottom of the cliff. And we have to be aware of that. And so in my prayer time, as I was meditating on what I should teach, you know what, I was so clear that you've got to teach the goodness of God and that God cares for us specifically. And so last week we shared a couple things, and one of the things that I shared that I want to remind you of, if people say, and again, don't say amen to this. Don't say, look at your neighbor and say, don't say amen to this. Because I'm about to tell you something. You're like, amen, amen. No, not amen. Don't say amen to this. Why? Because it's wrong. See, sometimes in our Christianity, we continue, we're part of the problem. And somebody says something that's unbiblical and we just say, amen, because it sounds good. Well, you know what? What does the word say? That's what the truth is, amen? So somebody says, don't say amen to this. Somebody says, well, God will never put something on you beyond what you can handle. See, you wanted to say amen. Amen. Because you're used to that. No, that's the Bible doesn't teach that. And we saw it last week. We saw specifically what the Bible says. The Bible says that God will not tempt you beyond what you can handle, but with that, come on somebody, with that temptation that God will, you know what, provide a way out. Somebody say, with that temptation. And then we saw that Peter says, what I'm telling you. Paul says that we were troubled beyond what we could handle. Do you remember this? That's what he says. Beyond. Let me quote it to you, let me read it to you just because I want to make sure. You're like, oh, I'm not sure. False doctor. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. For we do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. There are some things that is going to come upon you that is going to be beyond what you can handle. Beyond what you can handle. Well, I don't think so, because God will never put anything beyond us that we can't handle. Not true. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Here's what he says. We don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, for our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even to life. Verse 9, yes, we were sentenced, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Why is God putting more on you than you could handle? Here's why. Because he wants you to stop trusting in your own ability and start trusting in his ability. Oh, you missed a good time to say amen. He wants you to stop trusting in your own ability. That's pride. The Bible says he resists the proud. He wants you to get off thinking you can handle it. And he wants you to start thinking that you can't handle it. That's what he wants. But in order to do that, you've got to humble out. And see, here's the thing. God's given us all kinds of talents and abilities. But he's going to put more on you than you can handle. Why? So that you will put your trust in God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us. Let me tell you about God. He's delivered you. He has delivered you. And he's going to deliver you. That's what Paul says. I love that. Amen. And does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Amen. Amen. You'll see it sometime if you come to Marilyn's service. But we were in the hospital, and Marilyn said to me, Pastor, I want you to start recording me. And I really didn't exactly know what she wanted, but I was just wanted to be a friend and do what she asked me to do. So I started recording her. And she started thanking you. You'll see it. She started thanking you for the church family that she had. And she believed that death was very close to her, that she was going to die very soon. But in the video, and you'll see the video, there was absolutely no fear in her whatsoever. There just wasn't. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Can somebody say amen? The reason why this is so critical that you understand how much God cares for you is this. Here's why. Because when you start to believe a lie, that is a lie. God doesn't care for you. The Bible says in Peter that we can cast our care upon him, for he cares for us. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And let me tell you why it's so dangerous. That's why I'm preaching this. Because you have no idea how close you are to walking in victory. But Satan knows that if he can get you to stop doing what you're doing. We talked about the power of praise recently. We talked about the power of the word recently. Some of you are praising God and putting praise music in your homes and having that be part of your lifestyle now. Some of you are watching at 10 o'clock as we go through, and your pastor is going with you through every a chapter a day, Monday through Friday, of the word, and you're starting to recognize how powerful it is. And what's happening is you are getting closer and closer and closer and closer to that victory in your life, whatever that victory means to you. You're getting close, and Satan sees that you're getting close, and he hates that you're getting close. Paul says over and over again, I don't want you to be ignorant, but what Satan wants you to do is to be ignorant. He's a liar. That's why he lies to you all the time, because the truth that you know, the Bible says, is going to set you free. And so when you start walking in that truth, you're going to be set free, and you're going to walk in that victory. And all you have to do, I don't know who this is for, all you have to do is not stop. See, the only person that can really stop you is you. And you're doing what you know to do. You're coming to church. You're praising God. You're making good choices. You know what? You're being faithful to your wife. You know what? You're not being greedy. You're givers, or whatever situation. You're not being angry anymore. And you know what? And you see in your mind, it's like, man, I'm not angry anymore. But these goofballs keep on doing what they're doing. Hello. Well, the very thing that you will continue to do is the very thing that's going to break you free. And you're finally going to get completely free from anger, no matter how people act. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And so you're going to get to that place, or whatever it is, you're tithing, you're giving, you're faithful to bring the tithe in every single week, and you're right ready to have this financial breakthrough in your life that you could start to understand. You know what? Satan is lying to people as he says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to keep on working harder and withholding, and you're going to be okay. The Bible says in Proverbs, that's just the opposite. There's somebody who withholds and they have less, and there's somebody who gives and they have more. See, but that very thing of being faithful in whatever area it is, to continue, is what's going to break you free. That's why the Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good. You know why he says that? Because the Bible knows, God knows, that you can grow weary in doing good. But if you don't grow weary in doing good, we're going to bust through. There'll be all kinds of levels that you're going to go to, higher levels that you're at now, and it's going to happen as you are not convinced that God doesn't care, that you're completely convinced that God is for you. He's on your side. He's promised never to leave you or forsake you. He's promised that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. He says that, you know what, you're more than a conqueror. He says that God always causes you to triumph. I mean, over and over and over again. But as Christians, sometimes we forget all of that and get our eyes on circumstances, on things that are temporary, that are going to, if you don't stop. Somebody say, if you don't stop. See, that's the key. The key is not to stop. That's why I'm going to talk to you about the goodness of God and his faithfulness to you, and the fact that God cares for you and give you reason after reason after reason after reason that you would walk away. And it's not going to take me a long time to do it, but that you could walk away and understand, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? I started to think against God. Don't ever do that. Don't ever start to think that God isn't for you. Don't ever start to question the character of God as far as the reality. Here's what God is. God is love. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. So last week we said that God, reasons why he cares for you. The Bible says before you even speak, he hears us. Wow, is that... How would you like this? You know, how many ever felt sick? You're like, oh, I feel sick. I'm staying in bed. And you know what? And you get one of those little bells for your wife. You know what I mean? Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, come on, somebody. I know this is old school, but whatever. You know what I mean? Or your wife has one. She feels bad. She's got a little bell. You know, how many would like, right when you think, I'm gonna ring that bell because my husband needs to get here. And right before you ring the bell, your husband's like, what do you need? Come on, somebody. Every time. And you're like, trip out. You know what? I want some cocoa. Amen. I want some hot cocoa. He gets you the cocoa. You're drinking the cocoa, he walks away, and you think, you know what? I like some crackers with this cocoa. And you go to ring the bell, and right before you ring the bell, what? Boom. What do you need? Boom, he's there. Every time before you go to ring the bell, he's already there. Come on. He said, Pastor, that would be a miracle. Watch it. That's what the Bible says about God. If you had that, at how many times that you went to ring the bell and boom, he showed up, you'd start to think, here's what you think. Man, my spouse really cares for me. Would you not? That's why it was one of my points, because God really cares for us. Number one. Number two, we said this, that God sent his Holy Spirit. Remember this? He says, I don't want you to leave without the power of the Holy Spirit. And they stayed there, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. That's where we spent most of the time last week. And he baptizes them in the Holy Ghost, and they all start speaking with tongues. Now they're functioning, you know what, in the supernatural. Hallelujah. Why? Has God done that for you? Absolutely. 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 Well, today I want to continue to talk about reasons that prove that God is for you. Let's see, what is this? Jesus was compassionate. We saw that Jesus was compassionate for people who were hurting. We saw example after example after example. If you're hurting, God has compassion for you. He cares for you. So number four, we're on number four. Number four, God is closer than a brother. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says this, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Come on, can somebody say amen to this? Who is the one who is closer than a brother? Here's who he is. It's God, amen? Remember when that person that you thought was so dreamy, come on, in junior high, you're like, oh. Isn't it weird how you think in junior high, it's like, oh, we're going to get married. And isn't that weird? Amen. Some of you junior high, don't get mad at me. Okay. Sorry. But you know what? I remember, you know what, thinking that there's these, you know what, that somebody in junior high was like, oh. I remember, thinking that. And here's the reality. The reality is that person isn't going to satisfy you. But God can satisfy you. And God is so close to you that he knows, you know what? He knows what you're going to think before you think it. He's so close to you. Listen, understand this. He loves you so much, and he cares about you completely. You know, the Bible says this. The Bible doesn't say that God knows how many hairs are on your head. You know, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that he's counted every hair on your head. Can somebody take a hair on their head and yank it out for me? Just one. Just one hair on your head. You know what? Yeah. Do you have one? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Here's my question. Do you know what number this is? You have no idea. Somebody said that's number one. You don't know that that's number one. You know God knows what number this is. Come on, somebody. And you want to tell me that God doesn't care about Vegas? At all. Are you kidding me? Every hair. Vegas, do that again. Okay, can do that. No, I'm just joking. But you know, if she did it again, guess what? God would know. Oh, I know what number that is. If she did it again, I know what number that is. If you did it, he'd say, I know what number that is. I know every single number. Here's why. Because I've counted it. See, we need to let the scripture speak to us and get the lie out of our minds that God doesn't care for us. What a lie that is. It's absolutely a lie. God knows everything about you. My next point. God knows everything about you. Watch this. And he still loves you. Come on, some of you catching this. He knows everything about you and he still loves you. Somebody say, he still loves me. See, what does the Bible say? The Bible says this, watch this. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God knows every little snotty little thing you did in junior high. Amen. When I was in junior high, I don't know why, but the bus stop was on 7th Street. How many know we live in a different world? You know what I mean? I mean, I remember when in elementary school, I walked probably, oh my goodness, in first grade, I walked like 10 blocks. No, more like 20 blocks to school by myself. My wife's like, my mom's like, oh, here's your cheese sandwich, you know, go. Remember I told you I was raised, we were so poor. I didn't even recognize. You know what I used to get? I used to get a cheese sandwich. I didn't recognize till I got older, started realizing this. Oh my goodness. How come I didn't get a ham and cheese sandwich? I didn't get a ham and cheese sandwich. I just got a cheese sandwich. But we would walk all this way to school. You know what? And then when I was in junior high, I'll never forget this. When I was in junior high, we'd walk up this hill and we had this whole big area, and it was just a dirt lot. And we're like waiting for the bus. Well, some goofball comes up with this idea. He says, you know what? Let's start having rock fights. How many know junior high, you know, again, I don't mean to rip on my junior hires, but how many know that ain't the smartest thing to do? Come on, somebody say amen if you're with me. But for whatever reason, we would have these rock fights, and I was just like, I hope we don't have another rock fight, you know what I mean? But there I was, you know what, picking up my rocks, amen. And then, thank God we graduated out of the rock fights to just fighting, amen. And what would we do? We'd just be standing around, you know, like you know, 30 guys standing around, and then all of a sudden we'd look at one guy. And then when we all started looking at one guy, then everybody else would look at him and would know, okay, he's the guy we get to beat up. And this is true story. And we'd just pulverize, we'd all just punch him. And then, you know, that'd last for like 4 minutes, and then we'd get up. And then we'd all, like, stand around till we looked at another guy. And then somebody else, and then we'd all run, get it. That's what we did. And I hated this stuff. Why'd you do it? I don't know. Whatever. You know how it is. You just go with the crowd. You know what I mean? You know, my mom used to say, you know what, if they jumped off a cliff, would you jump off? Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I'd do the rock fights with them. You know what I mean? Probably would, Mom. So, you know what? I never forget this. And I hated the rock fights, and I hated beating people up, because at some point in time they'd look at me and I'd be beat up. I hated it all, but I functioned in it all. But I never forget one day. It's just, you know what? You ever just kind of blow a gasket? And I blew a gasket. And here's what happened. The bus was coming up, but they had already put their eye on me. And so they started to come at me, and I never forget this guy. You know what? I just made a fist, and as hard as I could, I just went, boom, and just hit him, clocked him right here, and just boom, knocked him completely down. And what did you do? I just was waiting for the bus. And the bus came up, and the guy opened the door, and I was like, oh, I'm getting on the bus now. And that was the last day that we did the fighting anymore. Amen. But how many know, you know what? You said, Pastor, that's a good thing. No, that wasn't a bad. That wasn't a good thing. That was a bad thing. I full-on clocked that guy. Knocked him to the ground. Amen. How many have some things that were worse than that? Pastor, you got some things that were worse than that? It ain't none of your bizwax, Jackson. Okay, here's my point. That there's stuff like that and stuff a lot worse than that that we've all done. And that we don't want anybody to know about it. We don't want anyone to think about it. It's just embarrassing. But those things God knew about before. Before, somebody say before. He shed his blood for you and I. And even knowing about all that, he said, let me tell you what, you're worth it. Don't you dare tell me that God doesn't care about you. That is a complete lie. He loved you before you loved him. He loved you and shed his blood for you while we were still in our sin. Amen. Let me tell you about God. God is crazy about you. Number, I don't even know what number this is, but this is good. God is our hiding place. One of the things that happens in life, how many need a hiding place sometimes? And it seems like everything's going on. It seems like people that you love have betrayed you. Things that were important to you, dreams that you've had, they seem to have evaporated. Maybe some people in this room, maybe they've gone through divorce. You know what? And it just absolutely devastates you. Maybe you've had children that have abandoned you. Maybe you've had parents that have abandoned you. Maybe there's situations and you just feel like, God, I just need some place to hide. I just need to rest. I just need to recover. I just need a place. I just need to take a nap. I just need someone to hide me. And God says, I'll hide you. God says, I'll hide you. Psalms 32:7 says, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Here's the reality. The reality is, not only does God, watch this, not only does God hide you, and as he's hiding you, he's protecting you from all this junk. But as he's hiding you, he sings to you. And they're songs. What are they songs of? They're songs of deliverance. So watch this. He's protecting you from your enemies. And he's singing to you. And he's saying, let me tell you what. I'm going to deliver you. All that you think has happened, all that you think, all that stuff, all that trash, all those people saying stuff about you that wasn't even fair, let me tell you what, I will protect you and I will vindicate you. Amen. You will be vindicated. He's not just hiding us. He's telling us, I will be your deliverer and I will vindicate you. Why? Because let me tell you what, God cares. And he cares about you. He hates injustice. Hates it. He hates the shedding of innocent blood. He hates when people lie against you, when people say something that isn't true about you and it hurts you. And you know what? And we have a tendency, because what we want to do, we want to vindicate ourselves. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes because, listen to me, somebody, sometimes because God is long-suffering. You know what that means? That means God is patient. He's waiting. He's waiting. Why? Because he's a good God, and he doesn't want anyone to perish. But if you think God isn't going to be a God of justice and a God of judgment and a God of correction, you are absolutely wrong. The Bible says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. And in times when you're called not to lash out, not to use your own judgment on other people, where you just shut up and don't, you know what? You don't have to vindicate yourself. You are not the judge. And you need to be quiet, but you still need a place of God's covering. You still need protection. You're like, oh, I can't take anymore. God, will you cover me? He not only will cover you, he's going to speak to you. And just be patient, my friend, because everything is going to come out in the wash. And you think that wrongdoing is not going to be seen. Oh, it's not only it's going to be seen, but I'm going to deliver you. Amen. Think that, oh, God doesn't care because you see the wicked that are prospering. Oh. You know what the Bible says? Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Why? Because judgment is coming. What are we praying for? We're hoping and praying, God, I pray that they repent. These people in our nation that are part of killing of thousands of children every single week. And I don't care what they call it. Who are we as a nation? You say, yeah, but they'll be born into poverty. Well, I was born into poverty. Thank God my parents, you know what, didn't kill me before I was born. Amen. Yeah, but the doctor said they're going to be deformed. Oh, God, help us as a nation. When we start to say as a nation, we only want perfect children to be born. Because guess what? You know what? They'll judge you someday. Maybe your ear sticks out too much. Maybe your forehead's too big. Amen? Maybe your feet are too long. Who are they to tell us what's perfect? Who are they to tell us what's normal? Come on, I need some amens to this. This is good preaching. Let me tell you, the church needs to stand up for righteousness and stand up for the unborn that are being killed every single day. It's wrong, and you better watch it, because now you think you can say what's normal, but pretty soon they'll come after you. Amen. As a country, we need to stand up, and I think to myself, God, what is taking place? Why do we continue to do this? Continue to elect people that are for this junk. And I need God to hide me and protect me and just say, you know what, Drew, don't give up. Don't worry about it. You just keep on staying in faith, because listen, I will vindicate you. I will vindicate you. You keep on praying for your country. You keep on praying for your nation. You keep on believing. Don't give up. You know what? You can't be part of the problem. Amen. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you better watch it when you start talking about our country as, oh, well, they're just going to hell in the handbasket. Let me tell you what. Not if I'm in the way, they're not. Amen. Amen. And so what do I need? I need to be reminded. I need to be covered by God's protection. But I need to be reminded that, you know what? God will deliver us. God will deliver us. And they want to call us names and put us down and act like we are not the compassionate ones. No, 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 let me tell you what. There was a day in this country when we believed that every child unborn needed to be protected. That was our morality. And I say, you know what, that's what we need to go back to. And God help the pastors. And God help the pastors that are too politically correct to stand up for what is biblically correct. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. We have so many pastors who won't say it because they're afraid they're going to lose somebody. I'm not looking at people to lose. I'm looking at people to gain. Amen. I'm looking for righteous people that are tired of going to mediocre churches where pastors never will say anything because they're so afraid they're going to offend somebody. Hey, how about this? How about we just teach the Word of God? How about that? Amen. God will protect us. And there's a place in the middle of this battle that you just feel like, oh, I need to be protected. And He not only protects us, He not only hides us, but in that hiding, He ministers to us words of deliverance. How many hearing what I'm saying? Oh, don't you tell me God doesn't care for you, because I know He's hid you. I know you. There have been times when you thought everyone was against you, even people in your family. You thought, man, I don't have any friend. And God said, come here, let me protect you. Let me hide you, and let me minister to you. That's our God. That's the God that we serve. Number seven, God made you, and He likes what He made. Here's what the Bible says. Look at this. The Bible says, Psalms 38:14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. You know what? When you brush your teeth, you need to say, oh, hello, Mr. Marvelous. When you comb your hair, you need to say, hello, Mrs. Wonderful. I am marvelously made. God made me. I am. You know what I am? Watch this. You know what causes? Why in the world? You know what? When I was a teenager, my dad bought me my first car. And I think we only spent like $1,500 for that car. My kids are, why don't you buy me a car? Okay, anyway, next story. But my dad bought me a Volkswagen, 73 Volkswagen Bug. And I drove that car. I was so happy. That was the coolest car. But there was a cooler car than that. What, you know what kind of car that was? It was a Carmagia. Amen. And some of, I was just like a junior, but some of my friends that were seniors, you know what, two of them drove Carmagias, and that was the cool car. You know what I mean? So I saved my money, and I bought a Carmagia. Oh, man, I had it going on. Amen. I'm telling you what, I had the coolest Carmagia. It was so awesome. I was driving by Home Depot the other day, and I saw across the street there's a mechanic shop, and there was a Carmagia there. And I drove into that shop, and I got out of the van, and I just walked by the Carmagia. What were you doing? I was just thinking, man, this is a nice car. Now, when I bought my Carmagia, I think I spent like $2,400 for that Carmagia. How many know right now you wouldn't spend $2,400 for that Carmagia? You know what? I also like those buses. You know those Volkswagen buses? I like all of them, but I like the ones with all the windows. You know what I mean? And so I was getting a window fix, and this guy, I was saying, and they had one of those buses for sale. I said, hey, how much is that? He says, oh, I think I'm gonna sell it for $14,000. I was like, I'm sorry, what? Do you know what that is? He knew what it was. You know who didn't know what it was? I didn't know what it was. Because when I was a kid, there were a lot of Carmagias around. How many know there are hardly any Carmagias around now? Why? So watch this. With the less, you know, it's supply and demand. How many know it's harder to get a karma gya? There's not a lot of people who have them. And those who do, they want a lot of money for them because they're valuable. What's my point? Two things will dictate to you a value of something. One, how rare it is. And two, how much somebody's willing to pay for that. Hello? You know why that car was worth $14,000? Because he knew he could get $14,000 for that. You know, how many know he could put $14,000, but who cares if nobody will buy it for $14,000? Then what is he going to do? He's going to lower the price. Why? Because it's not worth it. How many understand what I'm saying? How many know where I'm going with this? Well, let me tell you where I'm going. What is your value? Based on two things. Your rarity. Look at your neighbor, say, there is only one of me. No. Some of you didn't say it with enough attitude. There is only one of me. Listen, not that you would ever get rid of me, but if you ever tried to get rid of me, guess what? You would be in trouble because you couldn't get another Pastor Drew. You're so kind in your... Thank you. Thank you. You're like, yeah, we couldn't get another one of you, all right. You guys are kind. But that's the truth. There is only... And I'm one of a kind, and you're one of a kind. Number one, what's the other reason it gives you value? What somebody's willing to pay for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Are you kidding me? Can I tell you one of the most worst times in my whole life? Let me tell you one of the worst times in my whole life. We had gone somewhere, I forget what it was, but we were gone for several days. I think we were gone for 4 or 5 days, Tamara and I. I think we were going to a convention somewhere. And we came back from the convention, and our kids hadn't seen us because they were at home with Grandma. And we were at this convention. Well, we came home, and when we came home, Megan, I'm going to get emotional here because I hated this day. I still hate this day. I hate the memory of this day. But Megan, Tyler, and Shayla saw the car drive up, and they started running out. And Tyler... You say, Pastor, that's so ridiculous. It's kind of ridiculous, kind of not ridiculous. But Tyler was running, and he was so excited to see us, and all I wanted to do is just hug him just like he wanted to hug me. And I couldn't get to him soon enough. But his, sometimes your top part of your body was, he just outran himself, and he just fell smack on the concrete, and it went from this complete joyous time to it just broke my heart, and he was hurt, and I knew it was hurt, and he wasn't hurt like we had to take him to the hospital, but it just sucked. That was my son who skinned his knees and skinned his hands. God's son, he saw. It trips me out that Jesus went to the cross. And he prophetically knew what he was going to have to endure. But you know what trips me out more? The fact that Father God knew that he was going to endure that and allowed him to do that. Now, you tell me why he did that. Well, get a mirror and look yourself in the mirror, because you are the reason why he did that. Because at the end of the day, knowing that you were born of corruptible seed, it wasn't okay with him to not give you a shot to be with him forever in heaven. Don't you dare tell me God doesn't love you. Don't you dare tell me God doesn't care about you. There is no one that ever has or Arthur will care for you more than God. Ever. Ever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? That you and I could be redeemed. That you and I could be redeemed. That's why he did it. He cares about us so much. There was someone who said, asked, how much did Jesus care for us? Did he care this much? Did he care this much? Did he care this much? Somebody said, no, he cared. He cared this much. All you have to do in those times of thinking about that God doesn't care, come back with that. Satan, you're a liar. God has delivered me. He cares about me. He has withheld nothing from me. You are my high place, you always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say in the family of God, but you haven't, or if you're not in the family of God, you've heard this message and you want to become in the family of God. Maybe you're watching at home, or maybe you're here and you're not sure, or maybe you were born again a long time ago, but you've gotten so far away from God. If that's you, we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to ask Jesus come into our heart. And the Bible says that Jesus will come to anyone who knocks. He's knocking on your heart today. And my strong advice is, this is not a casual thing. This is a serious thing. And just ask Jesus to help you. Just ask him in your heart. I'm going to pray this. Will you pray this with me? Say this with me. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I want to become a Christian today. Now, for everyone else, before I talk to you, if you accepted Jesus Christ in your life, we believe that God came inside, because it's impossible for God to lie. We believe that he'll change you, but he'll change you from the inside out. I want to be your pastor. I would ask that you start coming to Hope. Give the Word of God a chance, an opportunity. Give us 1 year and watch what will happen. I guarantee you, God will change you from the inside out. And you'll start, the more God you have, the better your life's going to be. I guarantee that. But you need to start to put yourself under a pastor that loves God and loves you and loves the Word of God, and allow me to teach you every week, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Your life will change forever, I guarantee you. I want to be the first one to say, Tamara and I are so proud of you. We're so proud of you. God will start changing you from the inside out. And we ask every Sunday and every Wednesday. We're going to open up Wednesday pretty soon so you can come here. But until we come here, watch us just like you're watching us. But next Sunday, come to church. Introduce yourself to me. I want to know you. I want to meet you face to face. Now for everybody else, how many of did God speak to you today? And you sense that, you know what, I've believed that lie, and you kind of need to, this is a bad example, but it's a great example. You ever felt sick and you know that you need to throw up, but you're in bed and you kind of don't want to throw up, and you're like, and then finally you get up and you throw up, and when you throw up, you're like, there's stuff that goes inside of you, and the Word weeds it out. But you need to play your part in this. You need to say, I resist that lie that I have accepted, that sometimes Jesus doesn't care. I don't know who that's for, but I would say if that's you, don't leave without raising your hands and allowing your pastor to pray with you. Who is that? All over the room. All over the room. All over the room. Don't be ashamed. You know what? Get rid of it. Take care of it. Now is not the time to retreat. Listen, now is the time to lean in. God's leaning into you. God recognized, God read your mail. Respond to him. Raise your hand right now. Father, you see the hands that are raised, and we ask completely, totally, that you know each and every person, and you loved us anyway, even when we had bad things to say about you, even though when we let circumstances convince us that you didn't care for us, we repent. Somebody say, I repent right now. Somebody say, I repent right now from this lie. I will not be lied to anymore. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, amen. Yeah. Please.
Amen. Good morning. God bless you. Good morning. I just want to share a scripture that the Lord gave me for the church. And I'm going to read in Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to ask Isaac to help me. I'm going to read Exodus chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. I'm going to read this in Spanish, and I'm going to read it in English. So it's Spanish easy for me. I'm the pastor for Spanish ministry here, right here in Hope Community. It's your Esperanza. So, my main language is Spanish, but I try to speak a little bit English. So, Exodus chapter 14, Exodo 14, versículo 1 en adelante dice, habló Jehová a Moisés diciendo,
Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying,
Di a los hijos de Israel,
Tell the sons of Israel,
que den la vuelta y acampen delante de Pi-Hahiroth,
To turn back and camp before that city.
Entre Migdol y el mar.
Between Migdol and the sea.
Y hacia Baal-Zephon.
And you shall camp in front of Baal-Zephon.
Delante de él acamparéis junto al mar.
Opposite it by the sea.
Porque Faraón dirá de los hijos de Israel.
For Pharaoh will say on the sons of Israel.
Encerrados están en la tierra.
They are wandering aimlessly in the land.
Y el desierto los ha encerrado.
The wilderness has shut them in.
Eso es lo que el diablo está pensando de la iglesia.
That's what the enemy is thinking of the church right now.
Piensa que nos ha encerrado.
He thinks that he has surrounded us.
Versículo 4 dice, y yo endureceré el corazón de Faraón para que lo siga.
And verse 4 says, thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart.
Y seré glorificado en Faraón.
And he will chase after them.
Y en todo su ejército.
And I will be honored through Pharaoh.
Y sabrán los egipcios.
And the Egyptians will know.
Que yo soy Jehová.
That I am the Lord.
Y el versículo 13.
And verse 13.
Y Moisés dijo al pueblo.
But Moses said to the people.
No temáis.
Do not fear.
Estad firmes.
Stand by.
Y ved la salvación que Jehová hará hoy con vosotros.
And see the salvation of the Lord which he will accomplish for you today.
Porque los egipcios que hoy habéis visto.
For the Egyptians who you have seen today.
Nunca más para siempre los veréis.
You will never see them ever again.
Jehová peleará por vosotros.
The Lord will fight for you.
Y vosotros estaréis tranquilos.
While you keep silent.
Entonces, Jehová le dijo a Moisés. ¿Por qué clamas a mí?
Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me?
Di a los hijos de Israel que marchen.
Tell the sons of Israel to go forward.
Y tú alza la vara y extiende tu mano sobre el mar.
As for you, lift up your staff and stretch
divídelo.
Out your hand over the sea and divide it.
Y entran los hijos de Israel por medio del mar.
And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land.
No es tiempo, iglesia.
Church, it's not time
de paralizarnos por temor.
To paralyze ourselves because of fear.
Es tiempo de marchar.
It's time to march.
Es tiempo de caminar.
It's time to walk.
Es tiempo de confiar en Dios.
It's time to trust in the Lord.
Dios sigue siendo el mismo.
God is the same.
Él no ha cambiado.
He has not changed.
Esa es la palabra que Dios me dio.
That's the word of God. That's the word that God gave me to
share
for the church.